On your home computers, and those of you listening on your smartphones through the American Freedom Radio app at AmericanFreedomRadio.com while you're at work. And apparently this is not an isolated incident. There are quite a few people who basically works just that much of a pain in the guts that you have to listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show during it in order to put up with it. Because I have a writer's cackle, as you've seen. Now, I think we do have a guest on the line here by the name of Stu Webb. Stu, are you right there?
I am here, Vinny, and I thank you for putting me on. I wasn't aware. I didn't get your email that we were to do the show today, but I'll be happy to do it with you.
Well, that is what we call a patriot who's ready to act on his feet.
I guess that's what you call a patriot, yes.
Yes. Well, I was thinking about it today, and Kevin Barrett mentioned it on his show, Truth Jihad Radio, a few minutes ago, that one guy, you know, if it's his homeland and he really cares about it, he'll be more powerful than 1,000 sheeple.
That's very true, Vinny. It's very true.
Yeah.
So what would you like to discuss tonight?
Well, we've only got really two planned questions on the show. The second planned question comes at the end of the show. First one, just tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Well, Vinny, if you want my background on this, I think it's better to give a full description. I married into the Bush Crime Syndicate, not knowing this, in 1981. I'd met a girl named Carrie Millman in 1980, and by 1981, I thought I was in love and wanted her as my wife, and not knowing that her father was one of the 100 Illuminati bankers. I had no idea, and I had really nothing to do with them during the time that we were involved in a four-year relationship, about a year of dating and courting, etc., and 3 years of marriage. And in the last of our marriage, it totally fell apart because of her extensive abuse that she suffered as a child. They call it child abuse, now adult syndrome. She tried to murder our child. She chased me through the house with a gun, tried to shoot me, did all kinds of crazy things. And right after our daughter was born and before our daughter was born, I did a videotape recently that really gets into the details. It is up on YouTube. It's on the front of my website, www.stuweb.com. If you scroll down to Breaking News and click on Breaking News and go scroll down to the date, you'll see it. It was just posted a few days ago, but I have some videos I've been loading now up on YouTube. But I did an interview with someone else and did a two-hour interview that gets into all the details. But basically what it was, Vinny, they terminated my parental rights because of buying a judge off after she tries to murder my daughter. It covers it up. I did not know who her father was. I really had nothing to do with him during the time of the relationship that I was married to her, etc. She said she didn't want anything to do with her parents because they wouldn't accept me because I wasn't Jewish and because I'm a Gentile. Well, that wasn't all the true case behind it. She really did not want me knowing who her parents were, and mentally it was an escape for her. She'd been married 3 other times. Violence, identical marriages and violence. And I took her to psychologists and psychiatrists and tried to get her fixed, and that isn't part of the game. She was raised as a Satanist. She was abused as a child. She was molested as a child. All these things that I had no idea when I married her. But I was in the home building business when I married her. I was young, in my mid-20s. I'd been in the real estate and construction business since I was 21. I'm now 57 years of age. I've been a whistleblower, should we say, since 2 years after one year after an illegal termination when I first went to the FBI. This was in 1986 on him, loan shark, Leonard Millman of Denver, Colorado. I did not know at the time when I went to the FBI and reported him on this, I did not know that he was George Herbert Walker Bush's partner, Jeb Bush. Neil Bush was working for him at Silverado Savings that he owned, and that George W. Bush had committed all kinds of HUD frauds, $200 million worth that George W. Bush put in his pocket.
What's a HUD fraud?
Pardon me?
Excuse my ignorance, but what's a HUD fraud?
HUD, Housing and Urban Development. They had been robbing in America. Here we have the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and they were robbing HUD to a tune of 500,000 apartment units. I mean, it was in the nearly $1 trillion at the time, and this was in 1990. Well, what had happened is in 1986, after I go to the FBI, I had never been arrested in my life, and suddenly I'm being arrested every time I turn around. The first time was within 2 days after reporting him to the FBI. I'm driving down the road. I got a cop behind me. I stop at a stop sign, and I take a right. I remember the incident. Next thing I know, I'm being pulled over for running a stop sign, and I'm being hauled off to jail for supposedly running a stop sign, which is a typical, you give them a ticket. Every time I turned around, I was being ticketed. Every time I turned around and got ticketed, my car was being towed in, and I was being hauled to jail, all for reporting him to the FBI. I spent nearly $50,000 in attorney fees and bonds and so forth, and all the charges were always either dismissed or I was acquitted. Not one of them was I found guilty on. And this was between 1986 and 1991. Then in 1991, they issued a federal warrant out of Denver, Colorado, said I made harassing, threatening phone calls to my former father-in-law. That didn't happen. They held me as a political prisoner when they caught me in 1992 to 1993 for 10 and a half months. And then the charges were again dismissed after they silenced the noise. What had happened, Benny, is between 1988 and in 1988, I went to the Department of Housing and Urban Development's Inspector General's office, and I talked to him and said, hey, I've got these names. I see that they, you know, I've been getting all these numerous amounts of apartment units, getting financing and so forth on it. And I'm finding frauds where they're putting $3 million at a time in their pocket, and they're building a 250-unit apartment complex. In other words, 250 apartments in one complex. So the Department of Housing and Urban Development, a good guy named Chris Greer, says, Stu, we've been tracking the same people that you're identifying, but we had no idea to the extent. But we've been putting in reports, semi-annual reports, up to the Congress that we have to do, that said that this group in Denver was getting, and these former HUD officials were getting, unusual amount of HUD units. So, anyway, we compared notes, everybody. They ended up wanting me to testify before Congress. I refused because I heard he was a mobster and he kills people. So I thought I'd keep my name out of it. I was naive and dumb and stupid and young at the time. Did not know what the U.S. government was really like and the criminals that were operating it and running it, which was George Herbert Walker Bush, my former father-in-law's partner. At the time, of course, was Vice President of the United States, then later becomes President. But I was dumb, young, and naive. From that
so hearing, you're saying that Poppy Bush is your father-in-law?
No, he was the partner to my former father-in-law. My former father-in-law's name was Leonard Millman. He's now supposedly deceased in 2004. I was married to his daughter, Carrie. But he was the partner of George Herbert Walker Bush. He was also the partner to George W. Bush, both former presidents. He was also the partner to Neil Bush, who ran Silverado Savings, the CIA dirty illegal narcotics Iran-Contra money laundering bank. And he also was partners to Jeb Bush, the the former governor of Florida, and the brother to George W., the former president. But he was also partners with Bill and Hillary Clinton, the current Secretary of State, the former President of the United States. And they were all part of the three legs of what they called Iran-Contra, Drugs for Guns Network, that was outlawed by the Boland Amendment in 1983 after they got caught and had done it in the beginning of 1981. And, of course, today it's still in existence, alive and well. I've been written about, I caused four congressional investigations. One was called the HUD scandal. Second was called the Silverado Savings and the Savings Loan scandal. The third was called the Denver Airport scandal, which was a $500 million airport that ended up almost $20 billion in cost with a secret underground facility, transfer station for FEMA when they go to do martial law and Americans start locking people up. And the fourth was illegal political campaign money laundering to 200 candidates nationwide involving my former father-in-law and his business partners, Larry Mizell, at MDC Holdings of Denver, which MDC is one of the 10 largest home builders in the country, and basically the corporation that was involved in the worldwide financial collapse, that they were taking mortgages. And they were bundling them up. They were creating artificial mortgages on houses that didn't exist and on houses that did exist. And that is what has led to the financial collapse. But between 1989 and 1991, I had caused four congressional investigations. I was given the title of a federal whistleblower, not wanting it, as a result of the appointment of an independent prosecutor by the name of Arlen Adams on the HUD scandal, which there were convictions, like against Philip Wynn at the time, former FHA commissioner, which is part of HUD, and he later became the ambassador to Switzerland. During the time, he had to resign his post as the ambassador because he was under indictment, and he was to be sentenced in Denver, Colorado, to 4 to 5 years in jail after pleading guilty and paying $1.5 million fine. He's also on the board of directors of this company and was involved in the bank bailout scandal and the mortgage fraud scandal. But a judge in Denver, Colorado, gave him rather than sentencing him to prison, which he was supposed to do, he was also one of their partners. And instead, he put the case under seal. It remained there for 10 years. And the day before President Bill Clinton leaves office as president of the United States, he gives him a presidential pardon, so he never spent a day in jail. So
they're like the real-time Marvel Comics Avengers, right? But except they're the bad guys. They really are these comic book villains.
They are villains. They're very evil people, Benny. People do not know this, but the 100 Knights Templar bankers are now in control of over 90% of the economy worldwide. This is 100 men with 10,000 people operating under these 100 men that are all interlocked together, and 6,000 of the 10,000 are American citizens at the corporate head. They have bought up corporations worldwide with all this narcotics, money laundering, all these weapon sales from the U.S. government to various rogue entities, whoever wanted to buy them, all these narcotics being imported worldwide. They're all involved with it. And, of course, robbing of the U.S. Treasury to the tune of, I'm aware, there was a robbery of that for over about $16 trillion. And they say our national debt is about $16 trillion now. Well, we have double that amount because they call it the online-offline deficit under the Graham-Rudman Act, which doesn't show the other set of books, which is all the retirements and the Social Security and all the other debt that the government has. So we've got, you know, 30-some-odd trillion dollars the government's indebted for, the U.S. government. So we've got a big problem.
There's a lot of missing money all. If you look through the government, there's a lot of missing money everywhere. And, you know, it can only really be explained, to my mind, by a criminal group who seized control of the government.
That's what they've done. And they've always kept the attorney general, ever since 1981. Every attorney general has been a crook operating for Daddy Bush. The godfather in America crime is, we call him, myself and many others, Daddy Bush. That's George Herbert Walker Bush. He's the main culprit.
There's another name for him, and Timothy Geithner was arrested recently, and this has been confirmed. He wasn't arrested.
Was that in Switzerland?
I'm not sure, but he started allegedly blurting out like and squealing like a little girl, saying Poppy Bush is running the show, you know, that kind of thing. And they call him Poppy Bush because that's his operation over there in Afghanistan, where all the CIA and US is shipping in and out the drugs.
I've heard that phrase many times, Poppy Bush, because of the poppy seeds and the heroin and so forth. But also children. He's a pedophile, and he's a known pedophile. And there's many people. Kathy O'Brien was one, sex slave and so forth. Transformationofamerica.com. I know her personally. I know dozens of girls that have been raped by this and molested by this pedophile when they were children. And they refer to him as Poppy Bush as well. We call him Daddy Bush, the godfather.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Chateau de Bush.
Chateau de Bush. The knighted one from the queen herself after he leaves office, yeah.
Yes, and he only flakes skin for 5 out of the 6 hours he's awake each day.
Yeah, that's just about what he is awake. He drinks his bottle of, I forgot which it was. He either drinks blackjack or the other whiskey. There's one he drinks and his son drinks the other, and they drink a quart each day. Plus, the word is, Daddy Bush shoots his heroin every day, and Junior, George W. Bush, snorts his cocaine every day, so...
Well, that's lovely. Nice father and son relationship. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh, yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh, yeah. It's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Poppy Bush, ladies and gentlemen.
We go brush our teeth. That's all part of it. That's foreplay.
Of course, you'll only be able to give him a hand if you're a small child. My very special guest is Stu Webb.
Yes.
Having endured such immense amounts of suffering and direct exposure to what I've come to term as scumbaggery, as in the actions, notions, and otherwise characteristics of a scumbag.
Well, of course, they are scumbags. You hit that one on the head.
Yeah, well, I believe that the United States and indeed the world is currently in the grips of an engineered viral strain, a virulent strain of scumbaggery, and it's infected everything, and it's coming down to the point where you understand that every single institution that raises you or governs you or decides whether or not you go to jail is slowly but surely falling completely into the pockets of these gangster scumbaggery filth.
Well, of course it is, and it's come to the point with them passing this NDAA law, they just, openly go out and kill people. I mean, Benny, I've had 30-some-odd attempts on my life. I've been lucky. I'm only breathing because of my faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Almighty God. Just in the past year, I can tell you, they rode me. They used FBI, a couple of goons working for the FBI. They're Somalian Somalians with Yemen passports, and they hit me in the left side, scraped a concrete wall on the freeway to bounce off the wall intentionally, hits me in the left rear of a van I was driving. I'm a contractor. I used to build new houses, used to get loans before I married his daughter, Leonard Millman's daughter. Then the loans got cut off. So I'm back to doing stuff myself, and after I go to the FBI, it's like, you know, my business has been very little. They have actually gone out and, you know, told customers that I'm a terrorist, people I've given bids to, and things of that nature. But here's what's happened just in the past year. They rolled me on a concrete barrier at 65 miles an hour and, you know, tumbled on my head if it hadn't been for a wall behind the two front seats of the van that supported it enough. I would have been dead. I rolled three times on the concrete barrier because of them, and then they covered it up using the local police, saying I was at fault when it was obvious that they were the ones that had done it. But yet, have I ever been paid for that? No. You know, there went a $3,000 van, used van, $100,000 for, you know, surgery on my skull and face and you know, 2 days of intensive care, you know, where I was knocked out. And, you know, I got up out of there, said, I'm out of here. They're going to kill me while I'm in here. And they didn't want me to leave for a week. That was one time. Then exactly a year later, they crammed me at 20 miles an hour in the rear end, gave me whiplash and knocked bones loose in my back. I'm still going to the chiropractor. Broke five vertebrae in my neck from the first roll over a year ago. And then they turn around and they use an Iran-Contra drug smuggler that testified in hearings. When they caused the Iran-Contra hearings, my friend Al Martin caused them. This guy was forced to testify about his drug hauling out of Mena, Arkansas. He hits me 8 days later in the left side trying to knock me off the freeway. Now I got a totaled van. I'm fighting insurance companies, and neither one of them want to pay for my damage to my vehicle, yet the cops in both incidences, because I wasn't rolled over and knocked out and nearly dying, you know, they took the statement from me and found them both, should we say, guilty, ticketed them on the spot. But where the first time I was knocked out, they never even would take a police report from me, covered it up. And just before these last two incidents that happened in October of this past year of 2011, 8 days prior, it was about 15 days prior to that, I had a house I was doing remodel work on. I was almost through at the people's house. They had just inherited, and I'd been working on it for 2 months. And they burned the house down. It was empty. They went in, poured gas all over the house, and burned it to the ground.
Oh, my God.
And they didn't have any insurance. She thought there was insurance policy on the house.
Oh.
So that was a $160,000 loss. You know, I kind of feel responsible sort of for that, you know, because I'm a target. So to put me out of business, they thought they put me out of business. And the ironic part was I had somebody else, another customer. So the next day I go over there, he says, yeah, I want you to go work on my mom's house. Well, I'd done work on his house previously, and his brother's an FBI agent here in Kansas City. And while I'm working on his house, or his mother's house, just about through with it, they give me the two crash jobs to put me out of business. Whiplash in both cases, nearly knocked out of the wheel, knocked out at the wheel, concussions in both situations. I have all the proof and evidence, and I can't even get the one insurance company to pay for my van. And the other one's fighting me. I got $40,000 in lost wages to date. And, you know, between that and medical expenses with the chiropractor and x-rays and, you know, the radiologist and all the other stuff, the hospital visits and all that, had they paid for it? One of them I talked to about taking care of the problem, and they offered me $3,000. I said, you people are nuts. It's because they own the insurance companies, I'm finding out.
Well, they do. They and what's his name? Good guy named... forgetting it now. But anyway, he did a little documentary called The Corporation Nation. Yep. And he's had a look down into, like, the Fortune 500 companies and who their shareholders are. It turns out the majority shareholders and the majority of Fortune 500 companies are the U.S. government.
If you really look at them, they're the bank entities and the financial entities that own each other and end each other. It's really bizarre. You know, Benny,
It's like two snakes eating each other.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just getting ready to post up, and I was working on it because I'm really ticked off at the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission, here in Washington, because I gave them, I reached out because I heard, you know, they're going to, you know, this new financial task force is created, and I always believe in trying to light fires and see if anybody in government really will do their job. So back on February the 6th, I lit them up and said, here's the entities. I reached out to them. Two SEC attorneys and a U.S. attorney, they're all on this new strike force to get at the bottom of insider trading and mortgage bundler fraudsters, okay? That's, well, here, I got the entities. Let me talk to them. So I talked to them. I actually sent copies of all the entities to them that they were bundling up all these mortgages. And what have they done with it? Not a friggin' thing. Are they going to do anything? I have people in various agencies, CIA and other agencies, that I know that are good friends of mine, saying they're covering it all up.
Well,
so I actually sent them an email yesterday, and now they got me blocked on their emails where they can't even receive emails. I'm saying, oh, this is getting bizarre. So they don't want it. So, Vinny, after we're through with this radio show, you're going to be the first to be able to go take a look before your listeners hear this show later on this evening. And it'll be on my breaking news page. And the title of it is Larry Mizell. Let me pull it up. It's Larry Mizell. You'll see it today's breaking news. So you have to scroll down about a foot because I've got some information in there on the top. But you scroll down to where you see the second set of flags under Stu Webb. You go to Stu Webb. You scroll down an inch. You see breaking news, StuWebb.com. It's a breaking news. And then after you get past or to breaking news, click on it. And then scroll down on breaking news just about a foot, and it'll say Stu Webb, official SEC whistleblower complaint filed February the 6th. Mortgage-backed securities frauds and bank bailout frauds. Here are the criminals who caused the worldwide economic collapse and their entities used the government, its 53 attorneys and 200 agents on a special task force, and they claim they cannot figure it out. Bullshit. Okay? I'm putting the entities in there. They're in there now. It's going to be loaded after we get off the show. Where does it go back to? MDC Holdings, Larry Mizell, my former father-in-law, before he deceased, him and Larry Mizell were the culprits creating these mortgages on houses that didn't exist. And they bundled them up. They would buy them up from mortgage brokers all across the nation, mortgages, and they would hold them. And they were Colorado's largest financial institution. Asset Investors is the name. Asset Investors Acceptance Company. Here's the entities, and I'll read them out over the air, and you can find them on this link.
You know, what's funny, Stu?
Yes.
Is that, have you noticed that the biggest companies in the world that own everything, people don't know who they are?
They never know. It's the 100 what they call Illuminati bankers. They're 100 men. And in the United States, I'll name who I know who they are. I can't identify them all worldwide because it's so top secret. You can't find out. Of course, in Europe, it's the Rothschilds. In America, it's Larry Mizell who took over for my ex-father-in-law when he died and all the money transferred to him. And Milman left in his estate $50 billion for his family, but $16 trillion transferred to Larry Mizell to be the new Illuminati banker. They're all a bunch of Satanists, and they do worship Satan. Now, also besides Larry Mizell is Daddy Bush, a.k.a. Poppy Bush, a.k.a. Pedophile Bush, a.k.a. George H.W. Bush. Also, Henry Kissinger, Lawrence Rockefeller, who's now dead. David took over everything. David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, and Carl Linder of Ohio. And if a person goes to my Bush Clinton or my Bush crime family flow chart, it's on the front of both the breaking news and the front page of my site, if they scroll down to Larry Mizell, a picture about halfway down the front of the site, stewweb.com, stewweb.com, I've got tons of information up there about who this guy is and who he's controlling. It's basically the Jewish mob in America. And people don't understand. When they die, they pass it on usually to their sons, if their sons accepted and sold themselves to the devil and all this, because they are devil worshipers. They're Satanists. In the case of my ex-in-law, he inherited from Meyer Lansky. He was Meyer Lansky's boy. Then Larry Mizell becomes his boy. And that's the way they pass it on. It's called the Gray Men's Empire. It's because they want to dominate the finance and the control over everybody all over the planet. 100 men. And it's worldwide. They've called them over the years the Illuminati bankers, the Knights Templar bankers. They've been around for 2,000 years that I'm aware of. And it just keeps rotating, and they keep getting more money and more money. And now they've come to a point that they're in control of the world finance. And they've collapsed the world finance. They got so greedy, they've collapsed the world and stole everything from everybody. But, you know, their end's coming, Vinny. Their end's coming. Well, they've gone overboard, should we say.
Well, how do you expose a fascist? You make them act like it, right? Because everybody suddenly sees them for what they are. It's the inevitable. It's the inevitable event. Basically, nobody can ever try and take you on without that person realizing it at some point. I just pray we don't realize it before it's too late.
Well, yeah, we do realize it before it's too late, and it took in America, you know, it took a long time for the American people to wake up, but they are awake now, and I saw it when I saw the kids hit the streets and the Occupy movement, you know, screaming and yelling because they weren't getting jobs, and they couldn't afford to pay those student loans, and in America, if you don't pay your student loan, you go to jail. You are responsible for that. And they got the debtors' court now. And suddenly their mom and their dad had to start paying their loan for them that they couldn't afford to pay. And mom and dad couldn't afford to pay it because nobody in America's got any money anymore because they've robbed and looted everybody's money. All the pension funds got robbed and looted all because of these bank bailout scamsters selling these mortgages worldwide. And they got the whole European market. They've got all the banks in Europe and all the banks worldwide, just like Greece is trying to collapse. All they have to do is tell these people that sold them these derivatives after they took these mortgages and they were worth nothing, the pieces of crap, these mortgages that had no houses to back them. They turn around and derivatized them and sold them that way. It's just like Greece. They're sitting there with all these mortgages and derivatives. That's about 40% of their problem in their country. All they have to do is, pardon the expression, tell them to F off. And if they would do that, then they could have a sovereign bank over there.
Well, these people think that the money that they made up is actually worth something. Well, I think that the money was just made up. You can just pretend like it doesn't exist, like you're not in debt anymore. Sorry, guys, I'm not going to play by your fantasy. But if we do, well, then we both realize we're dealing with something that doesn't have any value, and I'm not going to be your slave to it. We'll be right back after the break.
Don't sit around, first of the month. You're listening and tuning in to the show that's all about being a mafioso. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
A very special guest, expertise in Mafioso Incorporated, none other than Stu Webb. Welcome back from break.
Well, I'm not mafioso, but I guess you could put me in a category of the whistleblower to be futurely killed, or in the future killed by these slime balls if they think they can get me, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I doubt they're going to stop trying. And there's an old saying with Lancaster bomber pilots, you know, when they were going off and flying away from England to go fire at the Germans and whatnot, drop bombs on them. It's when you're copping the flak, you're over the target. If you're being shot at, that means you're right where you need to be, attacking from. But my personal liberty is kind of a bit of a different one for that. I feel like if your life's in danger, you should be protecting yourself. Are you armed, Stu?
Well, of course I am, and I won't get into it, but yes. Am I secure? Somewhat. But, you know, I hit the streets. I got 20 of them. They come out of nowhere within 5 minutes. I mean, they got me bugged. They got the car probably wired up. I can't find the bug and the whole bit, you know. But that's, and they're staking out. They're believe me, they move into the neighborhood. They come into the neighborhood and they'll tell a neighbor, oh, we want to buy your house, you know, or move out. We're going to give you an extra $10,000 to move and give you the equity in your home. Take a hike. We're the government. We got a terrorist in the neighborhood. And, of course, they want to move real rapidly because the government's offering them money for their home they couldn't get otherwise, especially with the price of housing right now. So that's where they do it, and they stake you out. I've pretty much identified where they're coming from around here, but this is what goes on. And, you know, they don't want whistleblowers. They just, you know, they like to make, especially when you get high profile like I've become. There's very few around that are still breathing after 28 years like I am. And, you know, I talked to a couple of them. I can't mention names recently, but, you know, just like they said, Stu, God, we're the only three left that have been around this long. I said, yeah, probably. The rest are all dead. I've known 40 people that are dead. Whistleblowers. They've killed them. I mean, they were high profile, too. So this is what they do to you. But they want to do me in. They want to do it in a car wreck. Oh, he's had 3 car wrecks in 1 year. Oh, he just doesn't know how to drive. He's getting careless. He died in a car wreck, right? Or they come in and poison you and, you know, oh, he died of natural causes. Or, you know, they try to induce you with one of their little toys. You know, their latest has been their satellite poking me with their Stonar technology and their E-System satellite out of Mobile, Alabama, that I've been told by NSA officials. They're telling me I'm on the list along with 5 other people in Kansas City, and they've got like 2,000 people across the nation. They send the satellite over us and the whole country, and within 30 minutes, they poked everybody. It sucks it makes the potassium and magnesium disappear out of your body. Radiation.
So they're basically zapping you with a little bit of nastiness from space, right?
Yeah, their Westar satellite system. It's part of E-Systems, part of the Raytheon Corp, Daddy Bush, Jeb Bush, Neil Bush, George W. Bush, Margaret Thatcher's son all collects paychecks off of E-Systems of Dallas, Texas. But they've got their satellite control out of Mobile, Alabama.
Now, what significance does the, what would you say, magnesium and potassium have in terms of brain function, body function?
Well, magnesium and potassium are very important. I mean, it's like when I was in the rollover and they nearly killed me and broke my neck. You know, one of the first things they did after they did blood testing on me, they told me that I was very low on my magnesium and potassium. It gives you cramps. You go into cramps, so your body starts cramping. I can feel it every so often in my legs, and I know to start taking supplements immediately, start popping the magnesium and potassium. Because what happens is you have a heart attack.
Don't bother with those pills. They only get like 10% absorption. Eat bananas. Bananas will give you your potassium.
Believe me, it's something that's in my diet every morning, Vinny. It has to be. Mm. because if I don't, you know, it gets a point, you start, I felt it a few times in my chest as a result of it, you know. And that's what it is. It causes you, basically, after you get zapped enough, it causes you a heart attack. Because it zaps the magnesium.
It's like a long-term suffering, slow, painful death kind of thing. Just for those people who have personally offended them, and they don't want them to die straight away. They want to toy with them first and set them up over a long period of time and eventually relish and finally doing you in.
Yeah, that's, you know, and it's ironic you say that, but a good friend of mine became a friend before his death. Harry Rupp was George Herbert Walker Bush's personal pilot. He was a CIA pilot, one of the best ever there was. And he escaped Germany. He was Adolf Hitler's pilot when he was 17 years of age for 1 year. And he says, I'm out of here. So he defected to the United States. He became part of the OSS. The brown shoe boys, they called them. That was before the CIA was created. But Harry was legalized in 1963 in December after Kennedy's death. All the Nazis and everybody were legalized for some reason that month later. I saw the paperwork before Harry had died. But Harry had told me, he says, do you know why they haven't killed you, Stu? He says, Leonard Millman's a Satanist. And I said, yeah, I'm aware of that. I've come to know that. He says, they get enjoyment out of torturing you. He says, making you financially to where you can't buy food, can't buy the rent, can't pay the utilities. You can't go out and get a job because they got FBI goons running around monitoring your phone. And then when they find out you're going out to make a bid on a house and a customer, within 24 hours, they're knocking on the door saying, what was that terrorist at your front door for? Oh, he's a terrorist? I thought he was a contractor giving me a bid. Well, that's the end of that business. I've even had a couple statements from a couple of people that realized, and so therefore I was able to get them to give me a notarized statement over the years. But most people won't do that. They're in fear. But this is the kind of thing they do, and Harry's reason they do it, he said, because they're Satanists. They get enjoyment out of putting you through punishment and torture because you cause them a problem before they kill you. They want to get the enjoyment out of hearing about you going through the pain and the suffering.
Yeah, exactly. And this happens more than people will ever see. And you're not the only one that I've interviewed on the show who'd been treated in this way. In fact, it seems to be the rule rather than the exception.
It happens to be the rule. I mean, I know a lot of whistleblowers. I could pull 300 right now before a grand jury, which I still have a pending grand jury request. The only one in the country that I'm aware of. I've had attorneys tell me this, and they're too afraid to represent me. I've got a couple disbarred to say if they ever get their license back, they would immediately defend me or, you know, go in and I'm not a lawyer, so I can't get it done. It's going to take a lawyer to ever do it. But I've got a grand jury demand. It's up on the front of my website. Still active with a case number against the Bushes. I can't get before them. If I could, I got 300 people, FBI, CIA, DEA, NSA, all the alphabet agencies of people that would march in there and testify against them with the evidence, and they would be locked up for treason and sedition, economic plunder. As an example, is the death penalty. They've just caused economic plunder. And what I'm going to post up after we get through doing this radio program, it will be up there by the time your listeners hear this evening, you will have it and the evidence. These are the mortgage bundlers that caused the worldwide economic collapse that the government can't figure it out. But how did Stu Webb figure it out? Come on.
It's because it's not actually that well hidden. It's just there's soft defenses and there's hard defenses against people. The first thing you need to do is be inside your enemy's head to prevent them from even wanting to try and find you. And once they do decide that they're trying to find you, you're going to make them wish that they never had.
That's an interesting statement. Interesting. But the problem is the Justice Department in America and what Bushes have done to it, Benny. You know, it's just like the used to be before Daddy Bush became president and changed the way the government works. It's always been the Attorney General since 81 that they've had in there that's been a criminal covering it up, and then they had the Inspector General of the Public Integrity Section, Lee Reddick, covering it up. Now they got some guy by the name of David Mann, and I've got his bribes up there on the internet from the boys. Nobody would do anything about it. But they were always the watchdog over the Justice Department. And they've always been what they call the God Squad, the cover-up squad. It sounds like you're going to break or something here.
We are. But, indeed you do. StuWeb.com, ladies and gentlemen, that's Web with two B's. We have another hour with him coming up after the break, ladies and gentlemen. It's about like a 3 or 4 minute break, so go off and take a WikiLeak and meet us back here at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses. Welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's like sitting around a campfire and just getting to know somebody that you never met before, but now you've got the time and now you've got the will and you've not got a nice little warm light thingy to cluster around that makes everybody look slightly more attractive because of the dim lighting. My very special guest is Stu Webb from StuWeb.com. Welcome back from break, sir.
Well, thank you, Vinnie, and I want to thank you again for having me.
Well, you know, everybody's got a story, and yours is quite fascinating.
I've been through a lot. It's been an interesting ride for 28 years. I wish I had had a normal life, quite frankly, but that's how it came out.
And don't you just love the people that call you crazy? It's like, mate, if this wasn't going on, I would wake up tomorrow morning to say, oh my God, there's no New World Order. There's no black and white Masonic tile flooring in virtually every single TV program. There's no Illuminati pyramids everywhere. There's no gangsters running the government. There's no illegal banking cartels and oil cartels and cartels of every agribusiness kind of agrochemical nature trying to poison and destroy everybody and hold control of their energy resources. That would be a welcome relief. I'd be like, oh my God, thank goodness this stuff isn't going on. I was just insane.
I've had a lot of people say you're crazy, but I've had people come up to me at meetings, Vinny, after I've done like 2,500 radio shows over the years, but I had people come up to meetings back in 1990 where I was doing personal speeches. I'd do a meeting. I must have done 150 of them back in the mid-90s. I had people come up to me 6 months later and say, Stu Webb, I heard you on the radio, and I thought you were nuts. Now I'm here to shake your hand and thank you for waking me up. So I guess, Vinny, people like us, yourself and myself, I guess we're waking some people up because we've got a conscience now. People are seeing it.
But have you noticed that they actually come to you 6 months after they actually woke themselves up? You opened their eyes, but they're the ones who went out there and did all the research to verify these things that were going on because they were curious.
You're very correct. Because they had to prove you wrong. Their curiosity got the best of them.
Yeah. Curiosity killed the cat. Apathy killed everything else.
Yes, that's true. Very true.
And it's, Have you noticed we have a society that basically just doesn't care anymore? Very vacuous and vapid and shallow.
Well, it's an interesting thing in America here that I've seen. We have this conscience. And it's gone to a global conscience. And what I saw was the economic collapse when we were, you know, it was kind of like Interpol helped me, should we say, bring them to the bankruptcy courts. But they didn't go there. We thought they were going to go to jail. Instead, they went to the bank bailout instead, letting the American people. So that woke up the American people real quick, because all of a sudden, a bank bailout, taxpayers are going to bail a bunch of banksters, and then they hear all these stories about the banksters and their private jets and these extra bonuses and all that. Well, that ticked them off, because they had their pension funds gone, many of them, and their retirements and all that, and they see their taxpayer and money going for this instead of fixing roads in America and doing that sort of thing. So I think the consciousness, it kind of woke them up. And then you see, you know, all this global situation, and you hear about all this stuff on the History Channel and the various things about the year 2012 and the Mayan calendar, and you hear all these things. Well, I think now the people are much more awake, and I thank God for Governor Jesse Ventura. He shares a source with me. I can't get into it, but we have a mutual source that gave him a lot of stuff. Said, Stu, you can't get on the TV. He can. We're going to give him everything. I said, go for it. You know, he got it. And he got enough. And the Awakening, one of the programs that finally got him really done in, was a back to HAARP and being able to move that jet stream. I call it weather wars, where they're able to
shut that jet stream down.
Yeah, shove it down. You know, and that was in April 2 years ago, when they all of a sudden Texas and Oklahoma had ice storms, and that was the first time they ever moved it. And now they just move it at random. It looks like a snake. But if you go to the Weather Channel or go to weather.com and look at the jet stream daily, it always comes off that Alaska HAARP tower. It's always off of that tower where the jet stream is being moved from. But it's just like a joystick. They can do it at random, and they're doing it for a purpose. They're doing it worldwide. It's to create a food shortage. It's to depopulate the earth. I mean, we've got some very, very interesting things going on right now, just like here in Missouri. I'm on the western part in Kansas City. Over on the eastern part, where St. Louis is, south of there is the New Madrid Fault. Well, that New Madrid Fault's got an inactive volcano that's been spewing for the past week. There's been two of them down in Arkansas that have been spewing fumes out of it for the past week and a half, and one in Oklahoma that are all part of an old dead chain. And, of course, we've got the planetary alignment that wasn't supposed to happen. Someone that had told me high up in government that they were able to see into space-time through that new super collider they have in Switzerland, and that they saw on December the 22nd, which is the solstice, the satanic holiday for the Bushes. It happens to be on that date of 2012. They saw the entire planets lining up in a big cross. I saw a video the other day that apparently they've got it from NASA and every place else, and we're lining up right now. And someone came on CNN, Jerry Jacket, that does the weather, and says, oh, last week, and says, we had a moonquake, folks. Look at this crater in the moon. And she's showing pictures of the moon where they had a moonquake. It's because of this planetary alignment. Another video that's out there, they're showing that they are having tornadoes on Mars they've never seen. It's because of the planetary alignment. We're going into it now. And we've got many, many earthquakes worldwide that is occurring. I saw this morning on the one of the news stations, they were talking about this super high tide, almost like a tsunami they're expecting on the West Coast. And I thought, this is interesting up on Washington State. I didn't catch the whole story on it, but the earth is rattling and beginning to shake. And, you know, they had another earthquake I heard the other day in Japan, so we're just not having the rattle and shake. And then you take the other things that they've done to the planet besides what's going on in a natural form and events, which I believe is godly. It's a God equation. It's good versus the evil that's happening. And it's the birth pains before the great tribulation, because I have a belief in God and as a Christian. But if you take some of the things that have gone in the Gulf of Mexico, just like that oil, they sucked out 10 years worth of oil out of that ground, you know, in a short period of time. I heard that you had on Deborah Dupree. I know her. And, you know, she's got it accurate, because I checked into this right after it happened, right after that oil spill. And I had a friend in the oil business say, Stu, they got a problem. There's two deadly gases. There's that hydrate sulfite and the other one down there that are going to kill people, because a third of that oil, that's the stuff that they burn off in that stack when they do the pulling it out of the from the oil wells. They're burning that gas off. Well, that gas is deadly. You can be walking down the street, and if that gas comes up out of that ocean, which at some point it's going to come, you could be walking down the street in Florida and see your neighbor suddenly drop, or be in your yard. You see your neighbor drop, and you rush over to your neighbor. You take two breaths of that deadly gas, you're dead. Well, there could be 30, 40 million people or more worldwide killed from that. What's amazing about that is the size of the oil spill itself. All that oil they extracted up with those two skimmer ships that they had developed and built after the Valdez spill up in Alaska, so they could go in and clean up any problem they had. Those were able to get that oil. And if you watched BP's oil profits immediately within 2 months after that oil spill in the Gulf, their profits were like 300 and some odd thousand percent. I couldn't believe what I saw from all the oil they took to the refinery. And they throw a mere, $50 billion or $20 billion, whatever it is, for supposedly cleanup and settlements to keep from being prosecuted. Every one of them should have gone to jail, including Dick Cheney and his Hal Burton that was responsible for it. But they did that. They've ruined that Gulf, and they killed those fish, and then they put that Cortex, I believe.
Corrects it.
Yeah, that they put on there. That's got cyanide and arsenic and all the other heavy metals that kill fish and humans. And anybody that eats that fish out of there is going to die and get sick. And I think Deborah's reported well on her side on the Examiner on all the miscarriages and the other stuff that has gone on. I've talked to her about it.
800% increase in miscarriages, you know. And on top of that, they're now finding Corexit in people's blood in some of those communities.
Yeah, and that's from where they sprayed it. And that was the condensed oil, so they could pull it up out of the water and separate it between the water and the oil, where they were just pulling oil up. But the problem
incidentally makes the oil about 11 times more toxic.
Does it? I wasn't aware of that, but I know that those gases are coming up out of there. And, you know, there's been dead birds fall out of the air here and there. You know, big flocks of birds over Arkansas and other places. Well, that's right in those air streams coming up out of the Gulf, okay? And I was told that that big, huge bubble, they call it the dead zone down there right now. The government has referred to it once or twice, and you really don't see it on any so-called mainstream media. It's all Nazi propaganda coming off these TVs, because they own the corporations of the Daddy Bush boys, own those, and so, you know, the media. But you don't see or hear about that. But, you know, I'm pretty convinced that a lot of that is breaking up down there, and I've been told it could take anywhere from a month to 2 years, and those bubbles will come up out of there. And what happens is, at one example, is over in Nepal. This was like 12 years ago. They had oil wells all around this lake, and suddenly this gas bubble pops up out of this lake, they determined and found out later, this deadly gas, the combined two gases. And it pops up out of there, and it floats on the surface about a foot to 2 feet off the surface of the earth. And it floats, and it's moved by air. And it's kind of like rowing downhill for 12 miles. It was nearly a half a mile wide, and it was, I take that back, it was 25 miles long. It killed everything in its path, except for some people that were standing on top and sitting on top of an open bus down there where they had You know, you climb up on top of the bus and you sit up there. And those people survive. But everything else, cats, rats, dogs, snakes, and humans all died where that invisible gas bubble came rolling down through there. I've looked on the internet, seen a couple things about it. But I was told that that's coming up out of there, and it can break up in, you know, one bubble here and one bubble there. But they've been afraid because of the currents in the Gulf that it would roll across Florida. And if it did, it could go for miles across Florida in width, and everything in its path is dead. Two breaths of that, you're dead. So we've got a lot of problems. And then you look at the oceans in the Pacific. They've got the same thing. British Petroleum had the deepest oil well on the planet off the coast of China go 2 months after the one in the Gulf of Mexico blew the cap off the thing. And they got all that oil spilling out there. I asked my source on this, it's an oil expert, I said, when are they going to cap it? He says, they don't know how to cap it, it's so deep. He says it's going to take them 10 to 15 years to come up with the technology to cap it. I said, what's going to happen? He says, what do you think's going to happen? He said, all the oil's going to come up out of there and contaminate all the fish and the Pacific Ocean. You can kiss it goodbye in 5 years. There won't be any fish out there. He said it'd kill most of the fish. And he says, remember, he says, it's not the oil, it's the gas. One-third of the oil find is that deadly two gases that come up out of the hole. And I said, what are we looking at? He says, we're looking at massive ocean currents off the Pacific that eventually, he says, rolls from China over here to the United States. And if you look at what's happened in Japan with the nuclear power plant and Daddy Bush's HAARP earthquake on Japan, because they wouldn't go along with his financial frauds. So in order to get the thing to work, and we posted about this probably, well, it was the week, 2 weeks before they hit Japan, about the financial frauds. As soon as that happened, they put the country under emergency situation where he could play his hedge fund game over there and commit more financial frauds. And what has happened with that nuclear power plant and all that radiation, it's contaminating the whole ocean. And they know it, and it's deadly to humans and fish. Past month, we've had stuff washing up on the west coast of Oregon, Washington, and now California. Bikes, hoods, doors, some car parts. They're finding now that houses are starting, wood and other things are starting to float up, and they say, well, we didn't expect that for two more months. The ocean currents have sped up. Well, Hawaii is in a situation to where they've had torrential rains before. They've never had hail before. They had hail the other day, pea-sized hail. The planet's going through some really wicked things right now.
And I think it's not the result of some random occurrence through space-time or anything like that. I think all these events are being purposely orchestrated so that they coincide with certain doomsday predictions throughout many different religions and beliefs and things like that. So everybody will think, oh, well, it's the end of the world. It's God's will. Let's do nothing. Let's just sit back and allow things to progress.
I think you're right in that sense.
Yeah. Well, we'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, where it's all about the people around the campfire taking a little bit of self-responsibility. Back in a minute.
you're going to end the planet in a holocaust unless you rise up and do something and recognize that nobody else is going to save you. You're the one who has to take some responsibility and save yourself. That's what life is really all about. It's about testing whether or not you can figure out what's going on before it kills you. My very special guest, My very special guest is Stu Webb. And we're talking about 2012 Mayan calendar and how I think, you know, they're orchestrating all these events to make all the religious people just kind of bow down, stand down to the New World Order, that kind of thing, because, oh, it's all going to happen anyway, we're all going to die, blah, 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 who cares, let's just be slaves for 7 years and it'll be all G-Unit. and I think what happens is if we all think the same, we'll all get led in the same direction. And it's usually not a good direction. Because the people who lead mass movements usually move in the same direction as each other as well. Usually, oblivion of some description.
Well, that's pretty much, I think you pretty much said it. You know, Vinny, I got a strong Christian belief. And I do see some biblical prophecies possibly being laid out. But at the same time, I've learned something. God's taught me something. You don't stand by and let evil run over you. We've got to do something about it. If good men do nothing, then you're going to get trampled upon. I don't know about those listeners that you have on here, but I tell you, I've learned over the years the Christians are the biggest chickens of all, and they should be the strongest, supposedly, because of their faith. They have, really. They go to the preacher for one reason. And you can see it. Oh, I go in and give money, and maybe God will bless me. And, oh, preacher, pray for me. And he's, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. And on your way out the door, leave the check, and you might be one of the 144,000 raptured. They don't even have that right. And, you know, there was a study clear back in 1985 about Christian ministers in America. And it was done by the criminal Pat Robertson of the 700 Club, who owns the Scottish Bank with Daddy Bush and has laundered $2 billion of Food for Africa money into his bank, into his own personal pocket from his little diamond mine down there. He ran the study, and it said that there was 56%, as I recall, of the ministers in America were in the pulpit for a paycheck because they only had to work one day a week to get a paycheck. Some of the laziest people that I've ever seen. I tell you, we're at a day and an hour, in my opinion, if we don't change things, they're going to be the first to lose their lives because they're chickens. You know, if they had any faith, they'd be on their hands and knees and praying against the enemy. But they're too scared to even do that because they don't have the faith to even move a mountain or a mustard seed. Okay.
Have you noticed there's this big psychological castration field like being broadcast over humanity, isn't it? You know, everybody's just mentally had them cut off. There's no gall left anymore. There's no audacity. It's all just, I'll do precisely what I'm told to do as long as I possibly can, and I'm not going to research into what I'm actually doing. Think about how long I've actually been doing it. That these people have kept changing the goalposts, you know. I've done my job for like 40 years and I was supposed to retire with a pension. Ah, it's been stolen. Oh, okay. Well, at least I have medical. Ah, it got cancelled out. Now private. Okay. Well, at least I have my mortgage. Ah, don't get too cocky, sonny boy. Sorry. We're going to have to make you start paying land rates all the time so that you can't even afford to have a house that you already paid for and own.
I know, it's a big joke. It's a big joke. The whole thing's a joke, and they control. And it's all controlled by these government officials worldwide. It's every frigged government, they've got these officials. It's not only in America. Look at what's going on in Israel. I just posted something up this past week by an Israeli reporter, Barry Shamish. I've always respected him, you know, and he posted up. He had to leave Israel because he had reported on Rabin's death and how Netanyahu, who's the, you know, the prime minister of Israel, is trying to cause World War III for Daddy Bush. He posted it up there about the history of Netanyahu being educated at MIT in America, graduates in 79, becomes a stooge for the CFR member, Ira Magaziner, that was Bill Clinton's partner in crime over at at Oxford in England, and one of the CIA boys, like Clinton was, trained CIA, and the infiltrators and the protesters, the Vietnam protesters, time to collect their names, as all those boys were. I did a whole story on Clinton years and years ago in Spotlight newspaper, but Ira Magaziner, not Yahoo, was answering to him. Suddenly, he decides that it was time for politics, and they decide it was time for politics for this little stooge. So it's in the report on my breaking news page how the Israeli people are fooled by Netanyahu, and how that really he answers to Daddy Bush and George Shultz and the rest of them. So it comes down to what do they want? What do they want? They want the oil out of Iran.
It just shows that the American people will listen to any old Yahoo.
Yeah, they will. Anybody, this mentality, and it's this media. The media wasn't taking over, Benny. I saw it because I used to get Time Magazine. I mean, my God, they were pounded on them heavy. Jonathan Beatty with Time Magazine. He wrote the Outlaw Bank. And I had given him a lot on the BCCI connection. He went into that from the spinoff of Silverado. But he did these two fantastic pieces on Silverado for me. It's on my front page, and you go to Table of Contents, and you scroll down to the third column over from the left, and it's under Savings and Loan in Denver Airport. He did these two nice pieces on Larry Mizell in Denver and about illegal political campaign money laundering and the whole bit. He did a nice piece on, running with a bad crowd. It was called Neil Bush at Silverado. And, then it spun out to, of course, they found out it was me feeding him, so they issued a warrant to shut me up. And while I was hiding, I was feeding information, and he got into the BCCI connections. Well, that was all the Charles Keating Saudi Arabia European Investment Corp, they called it. What did they do? As usual, stealing everybody's money, looting all the SNLs, laundering the money. It's in the junk bond daisy chain story of mine, part of the connections in there. But they were looting and robbing and doing everything else. And it's always take the money, rob it, nobody gets prosecuted, do it under a corporate structure, have a buffer. If there's a problem, have a Bernie Madoff go to jail, and we'll take care of his family. Eventually, we'll get him out. Like Keating, nobody put him in jail. It was private attorneys under RICO, a civil RICO case, and put him in jail. But he was supposed to be in there for like 8 or 9 years. What's he get out in? 3. The same thing with the junk bond daisy chain with Michael Milken. He gets out in 2 years instead of serving 8 to 10 years. They got federal guidelines. Minimum, maximum guidelines in prison. And they can't release them.
And even if you are in the club and you expect that kind of protection from them or anything, that's no guarantee at all, because they'll betray you anyway, as long as it becomes convenient for them.
When I was locked up in prison, Vinny, they said, oh, this guy's having hallucinations. He made all these death threats to his former father-in-law. I made no death threats. Matter of fact, if anybody wants to listen to the conversations that got me locked up, just go to Table of Contents, look for Amanda Millman. They changed my daughter's name from Amanda Webb to Amanda Millman. Look under Amanda Millman, scroll down, and you listen to the conversations. They're right there. They got me locked up. And that guy had the balls. I mean, this was after they shot two tires out in Kansas City back in 1990. And I called him up to try to see if I could make peace somehow. I knew I was a dead man, And, I told him what I knew about him a little bit. And I said, at the time, I only thought it was $1.2 trillion he stole from the American people and the government. And he says, what are you going to do about it? I mean, that's how bold they are. But as I've learned over the years from all the others that were, I get locked up, and they said, he's incompetent to stand trial. He's a nutcase. They sent me off to Springfield, Missouri, Siberia, USA. And who's down there? 2,000 Iran-Contra players, 500 FBI and DEA agents that were trying to bust all the bad guys. They were just grabbing them and throwing them in, saying they were incompetent, throw you down there. Well, Springfield shrink says, there's nothing the matter with me. So they sent me back to Denver that day that I got the shrink to testify to kick me out of prisons or out of jail and dismiss the charges 30 days later. Judge said he was going to dismiss them in 30 days, and he did. And he says, the most bizarre case, he spent $750,000 trying to prosecute me on nothing just to silence me. But the deal was I met all these Iran-Contra players. This was after Iran-Contra fell apart. So Daddy Bush says, oh, well, I've got 5,000 people that are liability out here that might speak out after I leave as president, and they might try to shake me down for some money by speaking out. So, well, I've got that on them, and I've got that. All these people were locked up on drug charges and various other charges, and were facing about 5 years each. Well, that kicked them off, so, you know, I accumulated a lot of names while I was down there. And besides that, the book Defrauding America that I'm a contributor to, there's many books I've contributed to, and they're on the front of my website, stuweb.com, at the bottom. Third of the sources in Defrauding America were people that were in Springfield with me, DEA agents, FBI, Office Naval Intelligence, and other people. But the deal was they turned against their own people, the Iran-Contra boys, because they had a problem. Lawrence Walsh was ready to put Daddy Bush in prison, the independent prosecutor. I mean, he had indictments that he was sitting on trying to get the damn judge to accept the indictments, and they were covering it up through the judge. Well, as the end of Lawrence Walsh, he was the closest to ever really putting Daddy Bush in jail. And he gives Caspar Weinberger and John Poindexter and Ollie North, Fox News, boy, he gives them all presidential pardons. It's still to this day, you know, they take these goons, and what did they do? Oh, there was too much radio noise. There's too much media noise. Oh, we got to buy up the media. So they began buying up the media. I couldn't get any more stories written. I used to get the Denver Post, Rocky Mountain News, right in their home base, constantly pounding on them every week with stories. I mean, there's a book called Silverado. 8 out of the 10 stories in there by Steve Wilmson were what I gave him and other things that he found about the information I gave him. But they bought up that through Dean, whatever his name is now, that owns those newspapers. They came in and took Viacom, created Viacom. They bought up all the media across and the others to buy up all the mainstream radio networks and where you don't get on. They always promote their goons up. And their stooges like Ollie North to become a war stories on Fox News. And if you look how Fox News was started, Leonard Melman, my former father-in-law, financed, you know, Rupert Murdoch Greenberg. His real name is Greenberg, not Murdoch. That's his real last name. But he's an Israeli Mossad agent. And all this Fox News and everything, spying on the 911 widows and the other 911 victims. Who is their spy? If you go into my internet site, it's right there under Occupy Larry Mizell Bank Bailout Dick is the link on the breaking news. Right in there, it names the former Justice Department during Attorney General. Assistant Attorney General at the Justice Department was the guy working for Rupert Murdoch that was doing the spying with Fox News. And I've reported on it. I got it from agency people that knew everything. Is anybody doing anything about that? No. I mean, they've created a one-world government. All they don't have yet is the oil from all these other countries that they want, and they're using our military to get those natural resources.
The other side of that is when they come in and they do their so-called extraction for oil, they're not doing it for oil at all. With the hydraulic fracturing, for example, what it does is it contaminates the local water supplies. Yep. They're not just after the oil and the money. They're actually after contaminating the areas that they're in so that the people who live there will no longer be able to support themselves and will be in perpetual dependency on them for the clean food, clean water, and clean air.
Well, I'm in agreement. You can take it as an example, and you can take the Charles Keating situation and the Larry Mizell and Leonard Milman. What do they do in Phoenix, Arizona? Well, this was 20 years ago. All of a sudden, Mizell and Keating and under entities with Milman, my former father-in-law, who was their bosses, by the way, basically, they were buffers for him and Carl Linder of Ohio, the two Knights Templar Illuminati bankers. they create this above ground, concrete waterway. And then suddenly the city of Phoenix adopts, oh, yeah, we're going to buy the water from them. Well, we've been getting the water for free out of the Colorado River and refining it. Why should we pay you the cost of the water? Did the citizens rise up? Hell no, they just went along with the game because they were the budsters, as George Bush calls, the broke, the useless, and depressed. As long as we can keep enough food
exactly.
on their table.
Because they took all their money and made them broke. They took all their personal wealth and responsibilities and made them useless. And doing that made them really depressed. The world is a dangerous place because you made it that way. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment.
Take my anger to a place that ain't
on the Vinny Eastwood Show. The facts we it's all about, the show that's all about criminal banksters taking all your money and then saying you're to blame for the poverty that you're in. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. And updates, it is now daylight savings in the United States. So for those of you listening on the international radio bands on New Zealand and the internet streams and what have you, the time is now 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. for the show, not midday till 2. So it's 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. in New Zealand, and I think it might be 10 p.m. till midnight GMT. But the United States are all the same, 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 till 7 Central, 3 till 5 Pacific time. Now, the final question, and I said we have two questions for the shows, and last one we normally say for the last segment. Is there anything that we all self-censor a bit, don't we? And if there's anything that you have perhaps not said before because it was perhaps a bit risque or it didn't quite come up in the conversation, that kind of thing, this is the place to say it. So if you have anything for us in that description.
I'll tell you, Vinny, I think what's getting ready to happen, and I think, over the years I've acquired, well, as Daddy Bush says, Stu Webb has acquired too much knowledge, therefore his library card expired. It's a hell of a metaphor, but that's the truth. And when you acquire too much on them, they kill you. So my library card expired, so I'm going to let it all hang out in this next, say, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and let the people know on what to expect of the shit to hit the fan, because it's going to hit hard. They're going to start a war in the Middle East. They're going to start a war that's going to go world war, and out of it's going to come chaos. And out of chaos, they're going to get control. And when they get control, they're going to be budster people. The broke, the useless, and depressed, as Daddy calls them. As long as we keep enough food on their table, a car in their driveway, gas in their gas tank, and a job to go to and from. He says, we can keep the budsters at bay. And he says, as long as we got at least 50% of them working for government, we got that 50% who do it for a paycheck, will not go to the internet sites, will not listen to the news because we can control them with their paycheck. So therefore, they won't get awake. And he says, we can turn that 50% on the other 50% to lock them up. So he says, we'll have our new world order and 50% in America. Basically what's going to happen worldwide. But you're going to see things that I'm aware of. I'm going to unleash them. I think they're going to do their little saucer game. Area 51, yes, there's flying saucers, and yes, Roswell was for real. There were aliens that, for the first time, made contacts with human in several thousand years, or a thousand years, or whatever it's been, since time of Egypt, or the pyramids, and all that, because there's pictures of saucers on there. It's at not Groom Lake, it's at Papoose Lake, Nevada. I had a U.S. scientist, Ed Slade, he's now dead, got killed back in October. He confined in me. He built flying saucers. He worked at Papoose. He worked with what some call the fallen angels, I believe they are. Some call them the aliens. They built robotoids. Monsanto got the contract for what they call robotoids. It's element 115, mu metal, top secret. The saucers are made out of what they call top secret Napoleon. Napoleon is what it's called. It's element 118. It's a fusion that they use of 115. That's a living organism of metal, and they convert it with radiation by zapping it, and it makes it to where saucers can come in and out of the atmosphere instead of having a shield, and that's the polium. Now, I'm aware that the Chinese were sold. DuPont had made this top-secret polium, which is, we had 1,200 in our arsenal at one time, robots that look human. But they're robots. They're made of mu metal. You shoot them, and the bullets bounce off of them. Now, this is high-level technology that's not to be discussed. This is top-secret, above top-secret, should we say. But Daddy Bush sold the technology to the back in the early 90s. The Chinese built 2 million of these things. As of, I think, around 2000, they had 2 million of them built. They started parking them in Costco containers in the United States of America and in Evergreen containers, part of Daddy Bush's Iran-Contra drug smuggling operations. Evergreen Airlines, Evergreen containers. So wherever you see an Evergreen container laying out in a lot, or a Costco container in a lot, there's a possibility, if it's been sitting there for a long time, it's full of robots, and somebody inside one of the agencies that's in the know had told me this about 5 years ago. They had 200,000 of these in America, so when they pull World War III and they go for their New World Order, One World Government, they're going to activate those robots by satellite. They'll come out of those containers, and they're going to be mowing down Americans. They're 6 feet, 2 inches tall. They all look alike. There's no eyes to them. They're all black. So when you see one of these things killing everybody and your bullets are bouncing off, you better load up your armor-piercing bullet and shoot it in the frigate head. I'll repeat that. Load up an armor-piercing bullet, shoot it in the head. It's the only thing that will infiltrate mu metal, and they put the computer brain in the head of the robots, just like humans' brain. They did the same thing. Are you still with me, Vinny?
So we're talking about they'll stage an alien invasion with their fake flying saucers, and then all these robots that nobody's ever seen before will come out everywhere, and people will think, oh, it's a robotic alien invasion.
Well, I'm not sure whether they're going to do the alien side of it, but the alien side connects with all the technology that all of this came from, and they've got the alien base at Papoose Lake, Nevada. It's about 60 miles south of Groom Lake, Nevada, which is in Area 51, which is our top-secret new toys test site where many people work that I'm aware of. I'm aware of several that have worked in Papoose with the aliens, so-called aliens. Now, what's interesting, another thing that's happened worldwide, if you we've got the Aurora Borealis, which is the northern light, suddenly shooting almost like big laser lights coming out of it in the past few days. More of the Earth changes. They can't figure out why. They're blaming it on the national TVs that it's because of the sun flare, this big solar flare we had a few days ago. Well, I've seen solar flares hit the Earth and wipe out 4,000 acres of Colorado at the time where I was living, 4th Street, broke it off at the knee level from 300-mile-an-hour winds in 1997 that was up behind Denver, Colorado, up in the Rocky Mountains. That was a solar flare. I haven't seen the solar flare hit any place yet, and usually with it's within a few days. This happened this past week. Now, they're blaming it on the solar flare. I don't think so. I think it's because they're screwing up the electromagnetic field around the planet with HARP, and it's creating that hole, which some scientists have said, that we've got this hole in the electromagnetic field. The Earth is hollow. People don't know this. Admiral Byrd, who testified before Congress after World War II, or right after, he chases all these Nazi fleet into the South Pole and says the South Pole is hollow and there's a sun in the Earth. Under closed testimony, writes a book called The Hollow Earth. During a UFO chasing during 1952, Project Blue Book, two Air Force jets fly into the North Pole. The North Pole is hollow. They put holograms over these. Behind Denver, Colorado, and Idaho Springs, Colorado, the Colorado Chain of Mines, it's called, is the Argo Tunnel, A-R-G-O Tunnel, the largest hole into the center of the Earth. Saucers are seen constantly by people in Central Colorado and other areas coming up through there on the backside of the Rocky Mountains in what they call the high desert going into the hole behind Pike's Peak up in that area. That's the Argo Tunnel. In 1969, they built the Western White House, completed it in 1972 underneath the or in the Argo Tunnel, along with a duplicated capital to take the new Washington, D.C. in the event of nuclear attack. It would be it. They say that's the largest hole. They say there's a hole in Australia, and there's a hole over between Jordan and Israel, which Barry Shamish wrote a book, the Israeli reporter, I told you about earlier, about Netanyahu on the site. He wrote a book called The Return of the Giants, where they're seeing 12- and 14-foot creatures, human-looking creatures over there along the Israeli border in the back in the 1990s and in the 2000 time frame. So the Nephilim bloodline, you know, they talk about giants. They mate with humans in Genesis 6. We have a big problem facing us. It may not be the end of the world. If good men do something and put a stop to it, I think we can have a turnaround. If we don't, we're going for the destruction side. The devil will win. The evil will win, because this is what's going to happen. It has happened before. The earth has been cleaned up. Man has been cleaned up when it gets too evil. You know, sometimes God really has to step in. So all those Christians out there think you're going to get raptured and stuff. You don't know what's getting ready to happen, and I wouldn't be betting on it. I'd be lock and loading, and I'd be getting ready for the big party. But we need to have a roundup, in my opinion. We need to be, like in America, we need to be doing recall. Don't wait for any election, because it's not going to happen. No one's going to get in office. They're all puppet stooges of the Bushes. Nothing's going to change. If you really think about the past 30 years of your life, it's every 4 years the politicians claim something's going to be changed, and it keeps getting worse. Oh, put me in and I'll make change. Every 4 years you're going to vote. Your vote doesn't friggin' count. The Westar satellite system changes your voting booths. So your electronic voting booths that they put in make no change. My opinion, we need an uprising in America. And we need to lock up these criminal elements, and we need to take over the criminal element within the military. Let the good guys cleanse the bad guys out when the uprising happens, because they will do that. They're prepared to do that and really want the people to uprise. We need to have an uprising in America. I'm not calling for a revolution, and I'm not advocating a revolution. I'm talking about removing, through legal process of recall, all these Congress and senators and public officials, because everybody that voted for the NDAA.
We're gonna have to leave it there. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Stu Webb, stuwebb.com. See you again sometime.